This summer, there was news of a lofty proposal in New York City. A 120-story building could be put up in Lower Manhattan. If it is built, Donald Trump's New York Stock Exchange Tower at 1,800 feet would be the tallest building in the world, taller even than a building in Shanghai that will hold that title when it's completed after the turn of the century. Yet these skyscrapers would be shorter than one in Chicago that has been proposed since 1989, the Miglin-Beitler skyscraper in Chicago, a 2,000-foot-tall structure, would be 20 feet taller than Trump's New York Tower. The man who designed the Miglin-Beitler is architect Cesar Pelli. His 88-story Petronas Towers in Malaysia are currently the world's tallest buildings, completed earlier this year. Pelli understands how tough it is to get skyscrapers built, even if you're Donald Trump.
All very tall buildings have to go through many hurdles. That's why many more are proposed than end up being built, even when the intentions are real and the project is solid. As you know, that's what happened to the tower, the Miglin-Beitler Tower we designed in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I do not know about this proposal, how real it is, but it certainly could happen. Unfortunately, a fair percentage of architects' designs do not get built. Mm-hmm. The Frank Lloyd Wright had also an extraordinary tall needle, the Illinois, he called, the mile-high building.
This was going to be a mile-high building in Chicago, right?
That's correct.
Could it have been possible? Isn't a mile-high 5,280-some feet?
That's correct. The structure would be possible. There would be very serious problems to solve, primarily elevatoring. That would be horrendously difficult because as thin as the building he designed was, probably the building would end up with today's technology just chock full of elevators. There are also complex problems of mechanical systems and problems also of air pressure, because with those heights, some pressurization will be necessary for people moving up in the elevators, because it would either take much longer than anybody could put up with to get up, or if you go fast enough, then you would have a very serious decompression.
Now you've actually thought about this a lot.
Almost anybody who has been involved in the design of a very tall building, those are issues that come up, but at least theoretical issues. What happens if you go another step?
the Miglin-Beitler Tower in Chicago, that's 2,000 feet.
That's right? 2,000 feet, that's correct. 124 floor heights, I believe.
And that would indeed be the biggest in the world. Is that the practical limit for a skyscraper, do you think?
No, probably a skyscraper could be somehow over 2,000 feet high and work practically in technical ways. What happens every time you add a floor, a number of aspects of the building get a little more difficult. So there is not a sharp barrier. It's just that every time things get a little more difficult, the building costs a little more per square foot, elevator becomes somehow more difficult, structure more difficult and larger. Because one way to think of how buildings grow, the accurate way to think of them is if you add a floor to a building, you don't add it on top, you really add it at the bottom. Every floor you add, you need to pick up the previous building, lift it up, and insert a floor at the bottom. And that new floor needs to carry the weight of all of the floors that have been previously designed and provide, water, air, elevators, all of the systems that need to go up, and adds to the movement of people, so that it's an incremental increase in complexity and cost. Hmm. And that's why you can propose very tall buildings, and very occasionally, some very tall buildings are proposed, but very few get built.
Have you, in your architect's vision, sort of sketched around and thought about what a New York Stock Exchange tower should look like there at the bottom of Manhattan?
No, I think it would be fun to design a very tall, new, tallest building in the tip of Manhattan. Actually, I have some thoughts about what a very tall building should be in the tip of Manhattan, which is really quite simple. Is that the downtown Manhattan was for many, many years, from the 20s until the 50s, a extraordinary collection of skyscrapers. You know, it was, some people compared it, I don't think quite correctly, but it was compared to Mount Saint-Michel. But it was an image that you saw in innumerable photographs, movies, you know, immigrants coming into the shore, people departing for the war, coming back, lovers reuniting. That image of skyscrapers was magic. And those skyscrapers had a very unique character that said New York, said very optimistic, uplifting kind of image. That the World Trade Center, not the World Trade Center alone, also the Chase Manhattan building, which was actually the first one to work against that character, have contributed to undo. I tried to reconnect with that older, important character in the towers I designed for the World Financial Center. And if I designed a very tall building there, I would try, if this worked with the site and my client's goals, and if it was possible, to design a building that was not a 1920s or 30s building. That would be silly. It should be a very contemporary building, but a building with some of that uniqueness of character, richness of expression in the silhouette, and a sense of celebration and respect of entering the sky. That's what I would do in downtown Manhattan.
Architect Cesar Pelli talking with us from Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut. He designed the current tallest buildings in the world, Twin Towers in Malaysia.